Welcome to Avoiding Chores Friday Night Hangout, the best of the weekly live stream recorded on May 22nd, 2015. This is a podcast where we talk about the latest news from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and the region while drinking some beers and having a real good time. You can find us on iTunes, Downcast, and on Stitcher. Rate, review, and share. You can also watch the live show on our website, avoidingchores.com. On this episode, we talked about boats, tours of misses, and what craft beer we are drinking.
Hey, this is Justin Gott doing the roving beer reports from the Montreal region once again. And if you're a beer aficionado in Canada, you for sure know Dieu du Ciel. They are undoubtedly one of the best microbreweries in the country. So here I am in Saint-Jérôme, which is the site of their production microbrewery, but they also have a pub here. And they started on Laurier Street in Montreal, and I've been to that pub a few times as well. So it's kind of an iconic spot for beer drinkers in Montreal. But here here in Saint-Jérôme, you can buy their beer on the premises and drink it at the bar as well. And they just came out with one of their Momentum series, which is their not quite seasonals. I think they come out every month. This one is called Herbe à détourne, and it's a Belgian triple that is hopped with Citra. But I'm very lucky because I'm having it on cask, and they added extra Citra to this one. The beer is a beautiful... It really kind of looks like peach juice. It's got that beautiful color. On the nose, you get a lot of tropical fruit, mainly mango, I'd say, but you definitely get some of the alcohol transpiring from the beer. It's a 10.2% monster, so you know it's going to be present. On the taste, really the tropical fruit, the tropical notes, the mango, peach, that's what dominates, followed by the alcohol. Now, interestingly, the bartender gave me a little try of the one that they have on tap to compare it to the cask. And, you know, obviously on tap it has a lot more carbonation, but probably because of the carbonation, the alcohol shines through a lot more. And it's a bit more subdued in the cask version, and I think it makes it a more well-balanced beer. Obviously, I don't think it's going to be possible for anybody to find it on cask anywhere. It's really kind of a unique experience that we get to have here. But if you can find this, it's not going to last long. If you can find, they sell it in 341ml bottles, and if you can find it, please jump on it. It's quite an amazing beer. And if you can get yourself to Dieu du Ciel, either in Montreal or in Saint-Jérôme, you're absolutely going to love this place.
Talk to you guys. We got Dan with us tonight. Good evening, Dan.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Oh, it's Friday. Okay, replace that part, yeah. Hey, Aaron.
And let's switch over to Wallace, Nova Scotia. We got Keith, keithelliottstone.com. How's it going, Keith?
Good here. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Flipping over to Cape Breton, Carrie with us tonight. How's it going, Carrie?
We are 5x5, live on the interweb.
All right, 5x5, watching some Buffy, the Vampire Slayer, good stuff. In Halifax, we got Krista with bitesizedtravel.ca. How's it going, Krista?
It's good. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. And, of course, I am also in Halifax. What we are drinking tonight... Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
What I am drinking tonight is the, what's it called? I have to look up the name again. Good Robot Brewing, the newbies up in the North End. I met them last weekend at the Full House Craft Beer Fest, and they were delightful. And I am drinking their citrus ale, which is called the Bourbon Tail. And it's an APA style summer ale, really nice, little hint of citrus, fantastic.
All right, excellent. I'll have to stop by Good Robot to check them out soon. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
Number one, I just finished the Picaroons Yippee IPA. Very good beer. I had a couple of them on the weekend while I was in Fredericton. But I am now drinking a Helbay Dark Cream Ale because I just saw it in the brewery this evening, and I like it too.
Is this the first time you're drinking that one?
Yes. Like I said earlier, we are up in Sydney. We are getting some more crafty beers up here, so we're catching up with the rest of the world.
Well, we've, as I said earlier, me and Krista, we were talking to somebody with the NSLC, and it seems this summer NSLCs will be diversifying the craft beer section quite a bit, so hold on to your holsters, kids.
Yeah,
what does that mean exactly?
Just hold on to it, Dan.
Yeah, just hold on. OFB style. Just hold on.
I don't know what that means, but that seems pretty raunchy. Do I have to pay for this extra service?
Keith, what are you drinking tonight, buddy?
I am drinking Uncle Leo's Smoked Porter.
Ooh, is this one the one that you've cellared for like a year?
Or this has been cellared for about 5 months. Okay. It gets better. It's been fantastic.
Beer connoisseur, a beer connoisseur.
Excellent. Good stuff. Dan, what are you drinking tonight, buddy?
I have a slew of alcohol tonight. I'm starting off light. I'm a big fan of the Kronenbourg 1664, and they introduced a wheat version of it. something's wrong there, Kerry?
Did somebody leave that at your house?
That's a different story. I'll tell you about it later.
We all have guilty pleasures. Let me speak of guilty pleasures. I really like Britney Spears' Toxic. That would be my guilty
pleasure. That's just a good song. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a guilty pleasure.
No, that's just a pleasure.
This is another guilty pleasure of mine for that song. So I got that, but don't worry. We've got this. We got this. We got Secret Beer. And then if it comes down to it. we'll see how tonight goes.
When the hangout lasts 7 hours, Dan will finish his beer supply.
Yeah. Did I tell you guys?
All right, and I am drinking an Uncle Leo's myself, Uncle Leo's IPA. Got this from the NSLC tonight, so this is their 6% IPA. It's taking a while. I've been sipping on this slowly since, like, I don't know, 7 o'clock here, so.
It's very hoppy, but it's good.
It was a sandwich.
It is a hoppy, a little bit of malt there, but your East Coast kind of IPA style, but. It's very good. I guess you can call this a session beer because it's taking me so long to work it off here. But big news, Groupon, hell of a buy. Have a chance if you're in Portland, Maine, to buy a Groupon to get on the Novastar ferry to do a 24-hour cruise to Yarmouth, disembark, walk around, get back on the ship, get back to Portland, all within 24 hours. Be the first, because there hasn't been anybody that has bought this Groupon yet. Probably because they looked at the fine print. And one of the fine prints is that, one, you got to buy a cabin. So that's one. Two, you arrive in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia at 8:30 in the morning. And as we all know, in most places in Nova Scotia, the only thing that's open at 8:30 is the Tim's or the Irving.
Or the McDonald's.
Or the McDonald's, if you have one. That's it. So take the time to go through. And now the people who are coming on the ferry, they have to get off. So they have to go through customs. How long that's going to take? Don't know. Probably close to an hour and a half, the time they would need to get out. So I find this completely ridiculous. This is what, a punk move to maybe try to boost cabin numbers to boost their stats. What does the panel think?
There's going to be a lot of Tim Hortons being bought.
Yeah, I don't even thought there's one that close to the ferry terminal, though. I guess there's one downtown. I think there have been a lot of missed Gilligan's Island opportunities on the joke front with this one. When it comes to seafaring voyages, I'm not the person to ask. Like, I don't understand, like, the appeal of going on a cruise, for example.
But it's not even a cruise, though. It's a ferry ride.
No, this the way this is marketed as a cruise.
As a cruise.
This particular adventure.
Yeah, it just like you're just having like an hour and a half stop, and then you're just cruising back.
Are they parking a food truck on there? Is that how it works?
I don't know. Maybe Yarmouth is more open to them than other towns.
Unless Gopher and Isaac show up, it is not a cruise.
I just don't get it. It's like, you know, they're already dropping the price again to get on the ferry, which is smart. You know, they do need to make that argument to make it a price competitive thing. But let's remember, the ferry is not for us. The ferry is for the American tourists who happen to have a couple grand they want to spend getting on the ferry, getting up to Nova Scotia, and going somewhere else other than Yarmouth. Cape Breton, Halifax, maybe swing all the way back, come back through Maine afterwards. The ferry is not for us. And the idea that Maine is suddenly going to care about the ferry is ludicrous, because they never cared about it. I've listened to Maine public radio podcasts for a couple years, and they don't talk about the ferry. They don't care about the ferry.
They don't throw much money towards the ferry, if any.
They threw $0 at the ferry, and they never will. So, you know, why are we surprised by this?
You're not going to attract tourists to this province by making it cheaper or easier to actually get here. You're going to attract it by actually giving them a reason to be here, with events, with cultural things, with arts and entertainment, sporting events. That's how you grab them. By reducing the ferry and making it a Groupon, that's not going to do it.
Maybe we should talk about Nova Scotia being a destination, as Dan said. Somebody mentioned here we should rekindle what Nova Scotia was used to be targeted or marketed as, a backcountry destination. But let's rephrase this a little bit. A sportsman destination.
Yes, I'm trying. Oh, there. I just found it. I can let me pull it up on my screen share.
All right.
Because I found this a couple of years ago, and I put it on my blog. This is on the Nova Scotia Archives, because they save everything. And would you just look at this gorgeous... Can you see it?
Nope.
Yet. There we go.
Yeah. Well, look at that gorgeous... You have this woman in this like super fetching outfit, and she's fishing on the Margaree River, and she has a guy like holding her fish. Like, yeah. That's amazing. Like, you could use that poster today.
There's flappers fishing.
The unspoiled summerland of America. Listen to that. That's so poetic. It's Gatsbyan. It's gorgeous.
It's fantastic. I got another image from the Nova Scotia Archives also. And I'll share that one, too, for the people. Look at this. Big game in fighting fish.
Oh, yeah.
A moose.
No, there's a lot of the fighting fish theme. I went through this run where I posted a bunch of them on my blog like 3 years ago, because they're fantastic.
Like this is 1930s, right? And you know, when you're digging through some
look at that, you can get a moose.
Yeah, before they were endangered. Now, when you dig through the history of stuff, you know, we realize that Nova Scotia was the destination for the wealthy American elite to come up here to hunt fish, stay in the rustic cabin. You know, we're talking about Teddy Roosevelt, Rockefeller, the guy that we named the Ponzi scheme after, the guy who kind of created the term. He ended up here in Nova Scotia in the rustic cabins and Kitchimukujik and all that stuff.
Ponzi?
The other guy, not the Ponzi, but the other guy who is what they refer to as the Ponzi scheme. There was two guys.
Well, there's a guy named Ponzi.
Yeah, Ponzi, but there was the other guy who took it to the whole other level, and that's the kind of the case that's what he did. People call it the Ponzi, because his real last name was something long that people couldn't remember. It wasn't as sexy as Ponzi. So.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I think what these, what those campaigns from the days of yore highlight, and what you see happening now with the tourism marketing, and certainly what you hear in the strategy, is that they are going after people that are travelers from further away that are looking for that outdoor experiential travel opportunity. Right now, they're not Americans anymore. They tend to be Europeans, and specifically Germans, and from a smattering of other countries over in Western Europe. And it is basically the same product today, but the, you know, the currency is, the currency and the language has changed. I think it's a fantastic idea. These guys come and they stay for 3 weeks. Why wouldn't you want them here spending the money?
Exactly. I remember a number of years ago, back in the geocaching days, Keith and Carrie will probably know this, when we were setting up things up at the various parks and stuff, I'd be getting, there was a German couple that stayed a month. They stayed a month in national parks only.
That's awesome.
They stayed in Kechi, they stayed in Fundy, and they stayed up in the Highlands in Cape
Cod. They can stay in Nova Scotia for a month because they get almost 2 months off in the, for vacation. Yeah.
But this is an area, so in the somewhere around the 30s, I don't know if it was the Depression or not, but the whole industry, the whole backcountry, outdoor adventure, paddling, fishing, that all died very quickly. If you were to go to the Nova Scotia archive, look at Kijibukujik, hunting lodges and stuff will be all gone. As compared to what they were doing in Maine, they've been able to continue to cultivate that market. And I think we're kind of left behind, right? We just have, you know, we have all the areas and stuff, but we don't have that infrastructure in terms of, you know, the outfitters and the certifications and the training and the support to do whatever, right? I remember.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, because I think now the market that emerged in the, from the 60s to the 80s, really, was looking specifically at family road trippers, pulling a hardtop camper, maybe, like not outdoorsy camping, like more like leisure camping. And so that's when you saw like those.
Yeah, Airstreams.
Yeah, Airstreams. Yeah, well, everything from like a hardtop to an Airstream, basically, or an RV. And that, because that was seen as a virtually, it was a easy market to service, and, you know, you didn't have to put a, you have to put a lot of effort into it sometimes. And, yeah, and I think that's, there's a part of that sector that a lot of people are still kind of hopeful about, and I don't know if it exists or not. I'm not that kind of traveler, so I don't know if that's something that's appealing or if that's something that, that people want to do here. But I do think there's huge opportunity with outdoors experiential and adventure travel. There continues to be huge opportunity.
Yeah, let's bring it out to the rest of the panel. Keith, yeah. Carrie, you guys are in the different areas that could be RV tourist heavy in the summertime.
Tourism here has really tanked a lot the last 20, 30 years. I mean, there's a lot of potential. The Trans-Canada Trail, you know, runs just up the road from here. There, you know, there's rivers. There's lots of places to canoe and fish. But I don't know if there's enough volume of people to, for anybody running a business to make a go, but that's what I'm not sure about. You know, there's definitely things to do if that's what interests you, but I don't know.
Carrie, is it the same thing up in Cape Breton for you? Are you fine?
I think it's kind of there's a pretty broad spectrum here in Cape Breton, because there's the island is fairly huge, and to get across it, to go to from here to Highlands Park is a good hour and a half, 2 hour drive, and then explore and then come back. You're going to make a good day of it if you're traveling from Sydney. So if you have that, those resources where you can get out, short of 3 or 4 day camping rentals would probably work, because you could go to the Highlands, park in a camp spot, do that, go to another section, do that same thing, and keep going. It probably would work. Because Jim knows you've been up to the Highlands a couple of times. You've been to Lewisburg, and it is a long way around. And by the time you try to do all that in two or three days, it does get tiring. Yeah. And if you want to enjoy yourself, you got to spend about a week up here to really, really see the island. So, along with those rustic, if you want to call them rustic, fishing trips or hunting trips.
Yeah,
we have the Margaree and some of the other rivers, or big rivers, are fairly good salmon rivers. So it does attract some of those people. As far
that
as
that was in the poster from the 30s.
Yeah. As far as the moose hunting, there is a limited thing on the moose hunting, and you gotta get in on that lottery really, really early, and then try to get it. So it's still there. I mean, but for wilderness stuff, down on the southern part of the island near Isle Madame and stuff like that, there the Europeans are buying a lot of land and a lot of properties here. So it's, we are okay. We're probably doing all good for that, but we could probably see more of that.
Yeah. That thing. Well, the big difference I find, like, just, you know, you look at, I use Maine as the example, because I find Maine and Nova Scotia to be very eerily similar in terms of the population, which, you know, relies on fishing and on logging at some point, tourist town, you know, a few natural sites. Politics are kind of the same, really, when you start listening to them, so just the accent's a little different. But but you know, one of the things that they spend a lot of time on is cabins, you know, like the cabins. And for us, you know, we have the areas, and we, you know, that's the one area that, you know, we kind of fell apart. You know, when I learned that Kedji National Park, that was a hunting lodge, you know, hunting lodge kind of scenery there. So
there is a real shortage of cabins to rent.
Yeah.
In this part of the world, and it seems kind of ridiculous, really.
Well, the way that the industry developed here was towards motor lodges and motels and campgrounds.
Mm. All right, let's move on to the next topic here, which is another Nova Scotia-based story. This is a funny one here. A woman, she was in labor, heading to the hospital, hit a bear. Still made it to the hospital.
A woman in labor hits a bear on the way.
Oh, well, she was in the car.
That story. No, her husband was driving, but that story does not get any more rural Nova Scotia.
So, from Bridgetown.
Sorry, we're talking about a bear, like the animal bear, right?
Yes,
that's right.
I just want to confirm. I want to confirm that.
Not like a big dude called Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or a monkey called Bear and his owner's name BJ driving the truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure that she was not driving along a highway in rural Nova Scotia and hit a monkey in the middle of the night. That's
so they,
that
they
would hit... be awesome, though.
I don't know.
So,
I have a monkey story. Can't tell and hear them.
Is it a Bigfoot Sommelier that she hit by accident?
Bigfoot Sommelier. And then he recommended a fine cab Frank to go along with her delivery.
So the baby ended up being 8 pounds, so a healthy baby. They collided with this bear on the hood of their truck around 3:30 in the morning between Aylesford and Berwick a couple weeks ago. But authorities could not find the bear afterwards, or, you know, they didn't see. They heard a big impact, but
managed to get a picture of it as he was kind of running off, but that was the extent of it. And I don't know if there's been any sort of like further investigate, if they've gone to like look to see the bear, because I don't know, like it may have survived it. It's depending how fast they were going. They were on the 101 though in the middle of the night, so they would have been gunning it. So
they're very lucky. Bears and pigs are not things you want to hit with your you know, for being low animal. You don't want to hit them.
But you know, I've seen a couple of YouTube videos where, you know, bear gets hit by a car and they just bounce it off and then they just scurry into the woods like there's nothing.
Shake it off,
right?
Yeah, because so, they're just muscle and fat, so just sort of, you know.
Well, they
full of honey.
Apparently, the baby's middle name now is Bear.
I was gonna say, like, where's the one of you guys like set up the punchline for this one, because he has a very charming.
Glad they didn't hit
that
a skunk.
Name is gonna haunt them.
That's right. Glad they didn't hit a skunk, or you know.
Yeah, that name is going to haunt that child for the rest of its life.
Are you kidding? That kid has a cool story about how he was born now. And he's named after a bear. And people are probably going to call him Bear. That's awesome. You know,
his mom
this kid is, off, this kid is set call for him life.
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
No. His mom will come up with some story, find some necklace on eBay with like fake bear teeth or bear claws and put around his neck or
they don't need to make up a story. He already like survived a bear collision while being born. That's your story. Yeah, you wimps can go pound sand. The rest of your wimps can go pound sand. You were just born in a hospital. You know what I did? I was in labor. I was on my way out. I hit a bear. I shook it off. And I was born. Deal with it.
I don't think he had that much to do with the whole incident. The mom should be proud.
No, that is definitely how that
works. There ain't a hospital on me!
Oh! Hey, boo-boo.
I promise you, that is how that story will get told as that kid gets older.
You maybe pop out of the picnic basket.
All right, let's move on to the next topic. By-election or election, ooh. PI. We just had an election. Oh, yes, that's right. We did have an election. However, one result was taking a long time. They had to recount or recount.
It was a tie. That's why they did a recount.
So they ended up deciding the winner by coin toss. Now, this
is not allowed. That's not like something that was like written in 1823, and it just stuck.
I thought you might say that. So I did a little bit of research today. Fun fact.
You know, I said that.
I thought somebody would say like that's so stupid. Like that sounds like they made it up. And so I pulled
it is stupid, but hey.
Oh, it's stupid, but that's another matter. So I went to the internet because that's where the best stuff is. And I'm stalling because I am pulling up the screen share. I dug
would
out
have the been Wikipedia?
No, I dug out the Elections Act of Prince Edward Island, and section 102 says blah 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 blah, where basically when there's a tie, the returning officer shall, in the presence of at least two of the persons authorized to be present under this all list of things, toss a coin.
Was that in 1996?
1996, and then it was updated in 1998. They will toss a coin to determine the winning candidate.
2000.
Did BI just start using clocks and like metric time or something? What the hell?
Well, you know, not to be too negative here, the coin toss is also an accepted practice in trade agreements. So when you're bidding against government contracts and stuff like that, so if you have identical bids, coin toss is also the final determining factor.
And you know what? Rock, paper, scissors can be used for nut punches. I mean, so, does it make it legit?
But ultimately, eventually you need a way. You need some prescribed way to decide a tie or to decide an otherwise untenable situation. So for comparison's sake, I went and pulled up the Nova Scotian legislation because I was like, it's probably something pretty similar. But I was delighted to discover that there is an 8-step process for drawing a name out of a hat that is used in Nova Scotia. So,
okay.
you place the name of each candidate on an equal size piece of paper of the same color. You fold part B. Fold each piece of paper so the name of the candidate cannot be seen. Part C. Place the folded pieces of paper into a box. Section D. Secure the lid of the box. Section E.
You cut a hole in the box. Do you put your junk in the box?
Cut a hole in the box. Section F. Open the box. Section G, draw one piece of paper from the box. Section H, unfold the piece of paper so that the name on it can be seen. Section I, declare elected the candidate whose name appears on the paper.
Was this like from so, like 10-year-old girls from like elementary school where they had like the little fortune teller thing, you know?
It is very important to reiterate that the Nova Scotian Elections Act has an 8-step process written into it for drawing a name out of a box. When in PI, they flip a coin to achieve the same outcome.
Flipping a coin any day. been a quiet night on the Twitter.
I know. Trudy is at a party tonight, so.
And Dan, what's going on the YouTube?
Pretty quiet, and that's I can blame on the fact that I actually tweeted it out as Fur Day Night Hangout. So screw Friday Night Hangout. It's now Fur Day, celebrating coniferous trees. Fur Day.
On top of the Groupon ferry from Maine, an Alberta tour company mistakes the island of Cape Breton for Newfoundland. And let
quite
me...
reasonable.
Let me bring this up.
This is hilarious. I love this story.
I love this. And I love the... just it was like, woo, like, oh, well. Like, respond. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Oh, I wish Mike was on the Hangout tonight.
Yeah.
And Lori. Come on, where are all our Newfoundlanders?
So this is a tour company in Alberta promoting whatever. Like, they printed this out. And then people are like, yeah, doesn't quite look like Newfoundland. You're actually kind of...
I wish it was true, though. It'd be so much easier to get to Newfoundland.
However, people did have some fun with this and made their own versions of the illustration.
I encourage that.
Because then we made a map of Alberta now in response to this.
No, but what a good idea. You should get on that.
Put places from Montana on it or something.
Now, let me show you what it was supposed to look like.
Oh, my God, yeah. But, yeah, like, you have to... Because in the map that they published... You can see part of the word Nova Scotia in it. So it's like, what were you friggin' morons on a deadline and you were too like cooked on meth to realize what you were doing? Like, what was happening? Scads and scads of people from Alberta and Nova Scotia, and particularly Cape Breton, that live and work out in Alberta. So you would think, like, Alberta must be lousy with Newfoundlanders and Nova Scotians and Cape Bretons who would know where all these places are. Nope. They don't work in graphic design, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
But even the numbers aren't the same. I don't get it.
Yeah, like that.
It's
like
just, yeah, Carrie said it's just lazy.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was just... Huh? Yeah.
Now, is it as bad as the two local travel guide errors that didn't quite get a lot of news attention? The boner on the PEI brochure?
That boner, that was news like a month ago. I don't know why it took so long to become larger news. Because when it first came out...
What's this for boner? So I'm intrigued now.
Oh, there's a boner.
Go to PEI, you'll find out, Dan.
Travel guide.
Go play on their island and you'll find out.
Hang on.
I don't think it's a boner. I think it's just a weird fold in his shorts.
Yeah, it's just
renaming PEI the Cialis of the Gulf.
Ooh. Is this one of those ones where you see sort of like that idling lawnmower sitting on the lawn and then, you know, the sparkly
it's not like
music?
A boner. It's just like a weird fold.
It's a weird, yeah.
A little bit of chub.
Oh, that one! Oh, yeah. So. So, that's awesome.
But yeah, but that's the thing. I feel bad
for that guy, the model there. Like, that's his like career now. Boner.
No way! No way, he has a second career now. He should be thanking PEI.
What, he's not going to be on a Chuck Tangle book anytime soon, so don't get excited.
Are you sure?
But he's going to be like the, like,
maybe there's a Bigfoot that's about to bring a platter of wine to him.
But then Nova Scotia had their mistake this week. So they had the French...
So, as a natural francophone, Jim, how do you feel about this?
Well, I chuckle at this one because now, for those who don't know what the problem, what the error is, the E with the accent, the accent's going the wrong way. It should be going tilting to the left.
Routier.
Routier, not routier.
Routier. So what I think happened here, and I don't know what happened here, but what I'm guessing happened here is that whoever designed this got the French version translated at. Someone said to me earlier this week, it was probably like, it was some contracted to someone whose kid was in French immersion, and they did the translation. I was like, that's amazing, because it's probably It might be close. You never know how it happened. But I mean, that was done by the designer, right? Like the agency that does the Poitras materials. So mm-hmm. there's a really good chance that the designer looked at it, saw Routier spelled properly with the correct accent, and went like, "No, I don't like the way that looks," and just changed the accent so that it went from an accent grave to an accent aigu. Because it looked better, because it matched the one over in
Nouvelle-Écosse. Yeah, it matched the small one, Nouvelle-Écosse. Yeah, exactly.
I promise you, I would bet the remainder of this growler from Good Robot Brewing just down the street from my house that was a conversation that happened when they looked at the designs, and they're like, I don't know, like the accents look all messed up. Like, that looks dumb.
I'll have to make this amount. You know, as when we were kids, we're always wondering, like, why is Dad always in the bathroom? Yeah. And now we understand.
Probably crying in the sink.
Oh my God, now I understand. Oh, yeah. The bathroom is like the Fortress of Solitude.
It is. Sorta. It's awesome.
Sorta.
But with an iPad, it's way more interesting.
And now with the age of smartphones and iPads, it's a completely different beast.
So I watch Netflix while, you know, I'm taking care of number two.
Stop!
Don't worry.
I can't be the only one that does this.
Don't worry. You can use a Lysol wipe on the iPad afterwards. It's fine.
You didn't have to.
No, I just lay it on the thing in the sink.
I thought you just thought of Lilacs and things
I'm
like that.
Siri,
play Netflix.
Exactly. Use Siri.
Siri, erase the last 30 seconds of this.
Delete browser history.
I hope we're not setting up people's
delete browser right now.
Wait a second.
Poor Siri.
Hey Siri, call Jim. There we go. Let's see how many of that off right now.
All right, let's move on to the next topic here, which is
I gotta get my rage on. Just a second. Gotta get my rage on.
Yeah, I've got a lot of feelings about this as well. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, the state of Maryland, they took parallel parking off of its driver test because people were just failing it all the time.
But seriously, like, okay, are we ready? Are we ready to do this?
Yep, let's do it.
Yes.
I was going to say, okay, I'm just going to say this. What time is it? Taking shit off of the driving test is not useful to us as society because people can't drive as it is.
But it's so hard.
Spend a few hours learning to parallel park. That's what you're paying for the lessons for. Millennials aren't even getting driver's licenses. Like, this is not...
How am I going to do a selfie when I'm trying to parallel park?
Oh my God, like, I can't selfie while I parallel park. That's what a selfie stick is for, you friggin' idiot. I can't even, like, believe the standards for basic competence in driving were so unsuccessful that they have to remove stuff from the driving test. And parallel parking is a fairly essential driving skill, other than not killing people and keeping it forward and backward.
Okay, because you know damn well that this is, like... So they strike it from Maryland. Does that mean that they're only going to drive in Maryland moving forward? Or how's that working?
You only park in parking lots? But, like, parallel parking is the ultimate test of your ability to do spatial reasoning, which is a really important skill when you're driving because you need to figure out how not to hit people around you. You need to know how you're using your space.
But is this factor made up that Mississippi took decimals and fractions out of the math system in their curriculum? And it's a little different from what we're talking about. But basically, the attitude in society now is that if you can't do it, walk away from it. Don't try to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's probably...
Lower the bar for everybody until we're all, you know, crawling, basically.
I think that's the better point. But if you look at lots of other countries in the world, that's why they're eating our lunch right now. Because we're like, oh, like, it's too hard. Like, we just won't test you on that anymore. Meanwhile, in China, they're doing extra tests in parallel parking. And they're going to be, like, the best parkers in the world in 5 years.
Yeah, they're doing three-dimensional parallel
fractions
parking.
While they're parallel parking, I bet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those guys can multitask. They learn how to do it from birth. Well, they're in the sports academy.
Pay an extra $3,000 for your car, and it will do it for you.
No, you hand someone an Uber app on their phone, and they're no longer allowed to drive. That's the only solution.
Well, I'm also very comfortable with that idea. If you're too, if you cannot muster the enthusiasm for parallel parking, and if you can't get out of your own way, or you can't cajole somebody into spending enough time with a car with you to teach you how to friggin' parallel park, don't drive. Do the rest of the world a favor. Don't drive.
Take the bus.
Take a bicycle. Be more environmentally friendly anyway. But yeah, get off the fucking road.
You should definitely be off the road anyway. And I would also strongly encourage you to consider whether procreating is for you or not. There, I just put that out there.
But procreating is so hard. Oh, my God.
Ask God for PER.
You have to do the test on that tail.
Oh, my God. Can I do it with my phone?
Don't back up the bus.
How am I supposed to have a duck face when I'm procreating?
I make I don't think baby is ugly.
All right, let's do the last segment here, which is our way back machine to the year 1975. You know what? Pretty disappointing year, I think.
Jimmy Hoffa disappeared.
Where were you?
In 1975.
Where were you? 1975.
I was teething. Yeah, I was teething.
I thought it was pretty neat.
I was barely. I was alive, but I wasn't really aware of it.
1975. Oh,
so
the Vietnam War ends in 75.
Yes. Well, it ends. It's never really ended.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
We're still. Not we are.
The IRA was busy bombing and stuff.
Wheel of Fortune debuted.
Wow. The U.S. carries out Vietnam Operation Babylift, bringing Vietnamese orphans to the U.S.
Did I say that Queen and the album that Bohemian Rhapsody was on was released in 1975?
Ooh! Well, something really good happened in 1975.
Was it?
Saturday Night Live premiered.
Yep. The Thriller in Manila happened in 1975.
I was going to say Sony introduces the Betamax videotape, and JVC introduces the VHS in 75.
Yep.
Wow. And one company learned a very valuable thing about licensing, and one did not.
Yep. One did not ever. Ever. Sony has never learned that lesson.
Nope.
Nope.
Jaws came out in 1975. Movies for that year include, well, Jaws, The Towering Inferno, Young Frankenstein, The Godfather Part II, Tommy, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, I'm still looking through music from 1975, and I'm like, I feel like 1975 is an underrated music year because it has all this, like, AM Gold. It's like the early age of disco. It's like, I'm going through, I'm like, I love 50% of the songs on this list. Easily. Easily.
It was a pretty good, pretty fun time. I was 15 years old then. So
yeah.
I was going in between rock and roll, the early rock and roll, to into the disco, and into
like,
everything that was in between that.
In the era of probably Elton John's best songwriting era. God.
Yeah, well,
TV and show Adam 12 ended after a 7-year run. Nobody remember Adam 12?
That show?
I do.
Gonna have to YouTube it. I only remember the intro. The intro sequence. But a TV show that I remember, and I think you guys too, Space 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Jeffersons started in 1975.
Yes.
Welcome Back, Cotter. Yep. Barney Miller.
Nice.
It was a
fun
time.
Barney Miller, great
theme. I gotta tell you something. It was a fun time. It was fun time growing up in 1975. It really was simple, and we had a lot of fun.
Where is the oh, God, what was that song, that show of Fred Savage, The Wonder Years? Where's the Wonder Years type show for someone in Carrie's situation who would have been a teenager in the mid-70s? Because I just finished watching Mad Men, and Mad Men ends in late 1970, early 1971. And it's like, after that, there was this whole other period of transformative social change. And that 70s show doesn't really get at it, because that's like late 70s. But there was like this whole like mid...
...with it all. It doesn't do any justice to that period of time at all.
Yeah, I feel like there's like, that is a television opportunity waiting to be exploited.
Yeah, because
what is your Wonder Years, Carrie?
My Wonder Years are probably from 74 to 79. I'm going to say that because I was, like I said, it was 15 when I was in 75, 15, 16. But then shortly after that, 78, I joined the Army. So those are some pretty fun times of growing up. Getting away and doing things that were... put it this way. We did a lot of things we weren't supposed to do, but we didn't do anything really, really bad.
Yeah.
That's a...
Not that you're going to admit to, right?
Easy statement. I just want to add two more notable TV shows for 1975. You've got Wonder Woman, came out in 1975. And Fawlty Towers.
Oh!
75 and 79, two seasons.
1975.
Okay.
So, like, thank the panel. Great discussion tonight. Thank you, everybody, who were commenting. We do this every Friday. And Krista, how do we end tonight?
Good meeting!
If you like what you hear, make sure you like and share this podcast to your friends and check out our website, avoidingchores.com, for more content and links to our social media accounts. We do this every Friday. Let us know how we're doing.